Turn your Bibles, John 14, hallelujah, forever. Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's leading us. We're on a journey, and so happens there's a lot of mysteries being opened here. We're in the mysteries of the upper room or where I am. We're talking about John 14, 15, 16, 17. These words were spoken to the 11 apostles that changed the world. John was the only one that caught these particular revelations. No other writer wrote about them. John caught them because he laid his head upon the heartbeat of the Lord, and he caught the heartbeat of the Father. And because of that, he left these words for us, and they're amazing. They're very deep. They're very rich. There's a lot of mysteries here. Last week we spoke about the role of the Holy Spirit. Every one of them have a particular role. Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, you, everyone has a role, and it helps to understand what everyone's role is. Amen. What is your role in the equation? What's your part? If you think you don't have a part, you're sadly mistaken. You have a part. But there are certain things that are sanctioned and things that are not sanctioned. Amen. The Father has a part. The Lord Jesus has a part. The Holy Ghost has a part. And when knowing all these things and understanding everyone's role, you move into harmony together. You work together. And eventually, the whole kingdom of God shows up in the earth, because that's what God's wanting in this last hour. The fullness of the kingdom of God manifesting into the earth. Amen? And all of that, by the way, the mystery of all that is embedded into these chapters. And so we've been in them. We're looking into them. Today I'm going to look at the mysteries of prayer, and I'm going to say answered prayer. Say answered prayer. To be able to pray to the Father for Him to hear you and to answer your prayers on a consistent basis. Everybody gets prayers answered, but we're talking about consistency of answered prayer, from small prayers to great prayers. For the Father to hear you and to do all that's according to your heart. All that mystery is embedded into these chapters. It's an amazing thing. And we're going to look at the progression of it. You cannot take anything the Lord says out of context. Everything He says in chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all progressive. He repeats Himself a lot, but He also progresses the revelation as you go forward. For instance, if you look at John, seven direct times He speaks about you praying and Him answering. Seven times He speaks. He gives seven different references on prayer in John 14, 15, and 16. And every one of them, as the chapters progress, so does the revelation. So you can't take chapter 14 when He begins to say in verse 13, whosoever you ask in My name, that I will do, or whatsoever you ask in My name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. Now that is just a promise. He begins with a promise. As the revelations unfold, He begins to speak of position. Then He speaks of action from the Father. There's a lot of things that are going to take place to move you into a place of consistent answered prayer. And I'm not talking about just prayer for you. I'm talking prayer for the city, prayer for the world, prayer for the nations, prayer that God answers. Amen. And a prayer is not just what you say, how you say it. Prayer is a lot about where you say it. I'll say 95% of it is where you're praying from. Amen. And by the end of the day, you'll understand where you're to pray from. Amen? And the progression to it, because that's one of the great inheritances that we have as sons and daughters. And it's taken a long time to understand this. So it's not what you think about prayer. It's what God says about it. Amen? And we have to change our ways to understand that God has mysteries. When you understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, then things happen for you. Then it's going to be a glorious day when you pray and God answers the prayer. That you pray that God sends your kids to college and He answers it. He pays for it. Pray to get out of debt and He pays for it. Pray for your sons and daughters to get saved and He answers it. Praying for your family, He answers the prayer. A lot of times we think, well, you know, I've got this big project. I'm going to pray and fast for the next 6 months. Listen, God can hear you the first time you pray when you understand the dynamics of prayer. There are certain things we need to understand. We can't keep doing it the same way and expect a different result. Somehow we think as we age in the Lord and we keep doing it the same way, that we do it enough, we do it enough, we do it, and one day God's going to hear us. He hears you the first time, especially when you're in position. So you have to understand the mystery of it. Amen? Prayer is a mystery. Consistent answered prayer. And it's embedded in these chapters. Glory. Somebody say amen. So he says it in John 14. He says it again in John 15, verse 7 and 16. He says it again in John 16, verse 23, 24, 26, and 27. But each time he mentions prayer, he's going to give you a new revelation, a new position, and a new understanding. He's going to get you to the place he designed for you. Amen? We'll begin in John 14, and we'll understand some things today. Amen? Or you can keep praying. How many of you are totally satisfied with your prayer life and you don't need to change anything? Anybody, at least one person in here, totally satisfied. Tim, you can raise your hand because we know you're completely satisfied. But other than Tim, the rest of us, we need some help. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you know, he begins in verse 13. It's the first time he mentions prayer. I've been living in this. I love it. The mystery of it's just unfolding so beautifully right now. I'm like, God, you really are going to answer our prayers, aren't you? He says, yes, I am. What is you going to pray for him the rest of your life and not him hear us? Look at this verse 13. It's this first time he mentions, he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. He just got through speaking the introduction. Now they're up in the upper room and he's introducing his message to them. He's going to be reiterating this message all through the chapters. But he, in verse 2, he says, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. As you know, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you, that where I am, there shall you be also. Some people think he's speaking of when we get to heaven, but it's obviously he's not. Because he says, you're going to pray. You're not going to need to pray to God when you're in heaven. I mean, if you're in heaven and your life is over, what are you going to be praying for? This is now. This is our position now. Amen. He's prepared a dwelling room for us now. Notice what he says here. And he says, I'm going to come and get you again, and you're going to be with me where I am. We titled this mini-series, Where I Am. The heartbeat of God is to be where I am. And then he says something in verse 10 that's very interesting. He says, believest thou not? He was very, we got into this last week quite a bit, so I'm not going to belabor this point. He says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? He was very intent on you understanding that position. In fact, he says, if you don't believe this, believe the works. He said exactly the same thing in chapter 10. He's repeating himself here. He says, believe that I'm in the Father. You've got to believe this. So you got to believe it. You got to believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, because this is a principal part of what I'm about to do with you. And if you can't believe this position I have with the Father, then how are you going to be with me in the Father? Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to bring you to where I am in the Father. And it's necessary that you believe this position. You got to understand it. So you got to understand it. Matter of fact, he says in chapter 14, he says, in that day, say in that day. In that day, he said, it's necessary that you understand this relationship that I have with my Father. You have to understand it's the Father doing these works. It's the Father working with me. The Father was with him. The Holy Ghost was with him. They were in perfect union together in the earth. And that's the way God has designed for us to operate. He said, you got to understand this. Now notice what he says, now that I can find the verse in verse 19. In chapter 14, verse 19, he says, in a little while, I want you to underline little while. In a little while, he says it quite often. He says, in a little while, the world will see me no more. The world's not going to see me the way you see me. But he says, you're going to see me though. But you're not going to see me like this, but you're still going to see me. You're going to be able to see me, but the world will not see me. God has given you the capacity to understand spiritual things and to see him, not with these eyes, but with the eye of faith that has been forged and formed by the revelation of God's word. That's how you see the kingdom, because the word reveals that. Amen? He said, you're going to see me. Because I live, you shall live also. You can underline this verse, at that day. Say, at that day. In that day after I go away and I come back and get you and you're with me where I am in the Father, you shall know that I am in my Father. You are in me and I am in you. You're going to understand this relationship. You're going to understand this oneness. You're going to understand this position because I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to reveal it to you. Say, I'm going to understand. If you don't understand, because I'm going to tie that verse in later, so just underline it because it's going to get tied in. You're going to know. And if you don't understand this relationship, then you're out of alignment. And if you're out of alignment, you're asking God to do things out of alignment. And that's why you're not getting prayers answered. That's why the glory's not showing up. That's why the kingdom's not flowing, because you don't understand this oneness. The work, that's why he said, the works that I do, that you saw me do, these works were done because I dwell in the Father and the Father dwells in me. And I'm going to give you this relationship. I'm going to bring you into this same type of oneness. I'm going to bring you into this same operation and you're going to understand it. You're going to know. That's gnosko. Say no. You're going to intimately know and understand how this relationship works. If you don't, that's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with the church. Because they only know one side of the relationship. You got to know this oneness. They know the oneness. So then after all this, he gives this first promise in chapter 14. You'll ask in my name, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. How many of you ask whatsoever? Now, what we're going to do, that's the first set of references. He promised you answer prayer. How many of you prayed whatsoever and got nothing? Every one of you at one point in time prayed a whatsoever and got nothing, so every hand should come up. And we do, well, at this point we adopt religious doctrinal philosophies of why God didn't want to do it that day. Why didn't God want to answer the prayer that day? Well, this wasn't his timing. Didn't have enough faith. How many philosophies do we adopt? And more importantly, do we indict the Father with? We indict him as if he's the one withholding. Yet the Bible says, God spared not his only son. How shall he not freely give us all things? If he gave his son, don't you think he'd give the rest? So he gives his son and he withholds everything else and said, you just don't have enough faith. You're not praying long enough. I have something about you I don't like altogether. You didn't do it. Sorry. That's what we do. Wasn't his time. Keep walking by faith. We can't understand the things of God are unsearchable. Don't try to understand it. Just deal with it by faith. I've been walking for 40 years. It's about time I get some answers of why I'm not getting answers. Man, I found it. I wasn't doing it his way. It's your way or Yahweh. But embedded in here is a mystery. And I guarantee you, once we get in this mystery, there's a reason why God wanted it done this way. And I'm beginning to understand it now. So John 15, he reintroduces this again, second time now. But this time he adds a brand new element. He'd been talking about, I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back and get you. You're going to be with me where I am. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come and get you. He that keepeth my words. This is all in John 14. He that loveth me will keep my words. He'll follow me where I am, and then my Father will love him. Now he adds something here in chapter 15 that's remarkable. Praise the Lord. He says, now it's two verses here in chapter 15. He speaks about answered prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about the revelation of actually praying to my Father and not just doing church the rest of my life, but praying to the Father, him answering, not getting answered by a system. Everybody gets blessed by systems. You can get blessed by systems. You can have a gift, a talent. You can go to the world, get blessed, and the God's blessing will be on you. He don't have to answer your prayer. You got a blessing on you. You're blessed by systems. But I want to pray to the Father. I want him to answer. I want to walk into the tabernacle like Moses did and pray, and God answered. I want to pray like Solomon did, and God answered. I want to pray like the Lord did, and the Father answered. It's our inheritance. Verse 7, chapter 15, he adds a major element of operation here. Now notice this, say if. Ooh, there's an if involved. There's an if involved in answered prayer? Yep. Look at your neighbor, say if. If. Say if. I want that ingrained in you, if. Because you're not going to change your ways if you don't do the if. You got to do the if. Get the if going. Everyone say if. Shout it if. If you abide in me. And you can put a tag there, say where I am. Because he spoke in chapter 14, I'm going to go away. He's not talking about abiding in him in the earth. You got to come to where I am now. I'm going to go away, but if any man follow me, even chapter 12, he said, if you, any man be my servant, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall he be also. We'll follow him all around the world. We just won't follow him into the Father. How many of us will do anything you ask God? I'll do it. I'll go to Timbuktu for you. I'll go to Siberia or Russia for you. Maybe. We'll send somebody anyway. We'll go to the end of the world. You get up and go down to the grocery store if you know God told you to go there. How many of us will follow him into the Father? See, that requires a different adjustment. That requires a different level of training. You don't get to use your five senses. You have to use the spiritual senses. You're going to have to learn something. You're going to learn something about the spirit realm, how it works, how to move in these realms, because I don't get to follow you with my eyes. I don't get to follow you with my feet. I got to follow you with my heart. I got to follow you by revelation. I got to follow you by faith. I got to walk by faith and not by sight. I got to follow you into the Father. If you abide, and then I got to abide, and I got to keep these words until I get to the Father. And if you abide in me, and those words remain in you, these ones I'm saying right now, if, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Let me tell you right now, if you get to there, if you get to the Lord, he's going to get you to the Father. If you get into the rest, he's going to bring you into perfect union with him. It's resting in union with the Lord in love, and then the Father, he's going to bring you into the Father. So he's saying, if you abide in me, I didn't write it, he wrote it. And my words abide in you, then you can ask. It'll be done. See, he's adding something to the mystery, to the understanding. Amen? And then, in verse 16, he says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it'll be done for you. Now he's introducing, you're not going to pray to me, you're going to pray to the Father. Amen? But this position of being in him, you have to learn that position. You got to understand that position. It's one of the reasons why we don't get anything done. Because when you're operating here under a gift, God can put a gift on you, a grace on you, and you don't have to do that to operate like this. It's very evident. You can go to a pastor's conference and start talking about this realm. They'll look at you like a cow at a new gate. But they got a gift, and they can operate because God comes to you here with a gift. This is earthly jurisdiction. That's heavenly jurisdiction. So this is earthly jurisdiction. God comes to you here. He brings His gifts to you here. He brings His Holy Spirit to you here. You operate here. People get very skilled at functioning with the Holy Spirit here, and they never really have to go there. It's all about here. But this place that He walked with the Father, this place He's trying to get you to understand, requires you go where He is. You make this spiritual journey into the abiding realm, into the dwelling realm. And if you abide and dwell, and My words abide, you're going to ask what you will, and it's going to be done for you. That's your inheritance. That's why He put a big if there. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. Paul said, I'm found in Him, not having my own righteousness. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. You know, you can move in Him. You can dwell in Him. You can have identity in Him. You can have being in Him. In Him. That's a whole world. You got to get out of your world. My life, Colossians said, is dead. I am dead to the world. Yet my life is hidden with Christ in the Father. If you be risen from the dead, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. Set your affections upon things that are above. He wouldn't ask you to do something. In fact, we found out last week, the Holy Spirit, He said He shows you things to come. The word things is not in the Greek. He shows you to come. The word to come is ekrokomea. It means to transfer, to go from one place to another. The Holy Spirit was sent to get you to Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent to teach you how to move in this dimension without getting crazy, goofy, squirrely, or flaky. How to move into the dwelling room of Christ. He shows you how to move from the earthly jurisdiction to the heavenly one. I didn't want to go to church. This is church. God wants you in His church, in the heavenly Jerusalem. Get out of your head all the stuff you think about dwelling in the heavens, seeing angels and thunders and lightnings. Listen, those are encounters, but the host of what's going to happen is you're going to fellowship with Him. You're going to fellowship with Him in a jurisdiction of peace, rest, glory, love, relationship. That's what He wants, dwelling with Him. Yes, there'll be times He'll give you encounters, but that God's not into the sensationalism. He's into relationship. He wants you to know Him in love. He wants to introduce you to Him. He's awesome and glorious. The more time you spend with Him, the more time you want to be with Him. Now, the third set in chapter 16 is where it gets really, 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 really good. Put your finger, chapter 14, verse 19. And then put your finger in chapter 16, verse 16. Okay? What does verse 19 of chapter 14 says? In a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Look at chapter 16, 16. In a little while, you shall not see me. But in a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. You're going to see me in the Father. Did He change the subject? No, He's still on the same little while. In fact, He goes on to talk about a little while. The disciples had no idea what He's talking about. What does He mean in a little while? We don't understand what He's saying. In a little while, He's going to leave. And they were conversing back and forth. He says, the woman's in travail, but when the child is born, joy comes. You're going to make it. The world's going to rejoice when I go away. You'll be in sorrow, but then you will rejoice because you're going to see me again, not in flesh and blood, but you are going to dwell with me now. You're going to have the same relationship that I'm holding with the Father, that thing called oneness, the glory that I hold with the Father, I'm going to give you. You're coming into this relationship with us. You know how I said that I'm in the Father and Father's in me, and these works that I'm doing is the Father's doing? I'm about to bring you into the same thing. When I prayed to the Father, He answered. When you pray to the Father, He's going to answer because you're going to be where I am. I'm giving you the same place, the same position, the same oneness. This is your glory. That's what He said. My glory I give to them, Father. My glory of being oneness, I give it to them. Say, it's given. It's grace that He gave it to you. Well, you got to be perfect before you go in there. Of course, He's not going to accept you the way you are. So He wants you to run around the earth for 40 years in this jurisdiction to somehow get yourself fit to be in the Father. And when you esteem enough perfection in your own eyes, you can come. Listen, who is perfect in this room? Raise your hand. So who gets to dwell in the Father? So how do I get to Him? I get to Him by faith. I get to Him by holding His words, by keeping His words, not by being good enough. I need His love to make me good enough. I need to get to where He is. There are times when I'm not feeling it, and the enemy makes sure I'm not feeling it, and I walk through that door anyway because I've learned to disregard those feelings because my faith is way more powerful than my feelings now. There was a time when my feelings were more powerful than my faith, and that kept me out, but my faith's more powerful now because I practiced so long. My feelings, I said, look, I've done this long enough to know you are going to drop off, but I'm going to keep going. And those feelings, and I feel the enemy makes you feel so, and you go anyway, and you get in there, all of a sudden the feeling, you can just feel it when they drop off, and all the new feelings show up. The ones of joy, peace, rest, and then you go into the Father's love, and you're swimming in this glory of might. You forget that you were even in the old man. Because God doesn't fellowship with your old man. He fellowships with the new man. In a little while. That little while's already happened. He's already went to the cross. Death, burial, resurrection, raised into the Father. He already brought him in, see. But right then He's telling him in a little while, that you better listen to what I'm about to say because I'm about to give you a master key to answered prayer. A master key. Say master key. And I'm going to tell you why He set it up this way. A little while. Verse 16, John 16, in a little while you'll see me because I go to the Father. And they're all wondering, what is He talking about? We don't know what He's talking about. Listen to me, you better now know what He's talking about. If you don't know what I'm saying, then you better dig your heels into these messages and dig your heels. Because if you don't understand this relationship, you're not going to get a lot of consistent answered prayer. No more than they were. You better understand the way God put it together. Verse 23. Now He's going to get into the prayer part again. Are you ready? Say, in that day. In that day. I want you to go back to John 14. Hold your position there in John 16, 23. I want you to look at John 14, verse 20. You see John 14, 20? What's it say? In that day. What's John 16, 23 say? In that day. Okay. I have you now. All right. Go to 16, 16. We'll come, keep your finger over there in John 14, 20. In that day, say in that day, John 16, 23, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now listen, you cannot understand that verse. Do you understand the position of it? And God cannot lie. He can't. So you got to understand what He's saying. If you understand what He's saying, you understand He can't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. If you're not getting prayer answered, it's because you're not gotten position yet. But He's telling you in that day, you're going to get in position. All right? Now, look what He says. This is the time to seriously check in. This is the master key of the master keys right here. Are you ready? This is where He's going to culminate what He's saying. Verse 24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in Proverbs, in hidden sayings, in words. I'm saying these in words, but the time's coming when I shall no more speak to you in just words. The time's coming that I'm going to show you plainly the Father. I'm going to openly reveal the Father to you. Did you see that? The time's coming. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's going to bring you to me. And I am going to reveal the Father to you where I am in that day. Say in that day. When I reveal the Father to you, are you ready? Once I revealing to you, once you enter into the Father's love, at that day, say at that day, then you shall ask in my name and it will be done for you. Now say at that day. See, when I reveal the Father in that day, if you go back to John 14, verse 20, he said, he's speaking of the same thing. In that day, you're going to know that I am in my Father. You're going to know that I am in you, and you're going to know that you are in me. In that day, I'm going to bring you to where I am. In that day, I'm going to reveal the Father to you. And in that day, you're going to know that I'm just not me that's in the Father. You're going to know that I'm in my Father, but you are now in me. You're going to know that you're in me, and you're going to know that I'm in you. You're going to understand the oneness. When I reveal the Father where he is, you're going to understand the oneness, and then you'll ask, and it'll be done for you. Did you see it? Did the light bulb come on? Do you see the position? If you don't understand that relationship, you don't understand the place you're to pray from. In that day, I'm going to show you the Father. And the Father's going to love you. And then you're going to pray. Now get this. Listen to me very closely. You're going to pray in my name. Here's how we did this before. Wake up in the morning. Give me some coffee. Jesus, I ask in your name today for your blessings, grace, abundance, and favor. I ask in your name to save my kids. I ask in your name. Thank you in your name. We pray in the name. As if you growl, it's going to cause it to happen. If you understand his progression, he says, first in chapter 14, you're going to ask. Chapter 15 says, you're going to abide in me. You're going to be in me. Chapter 16, I'm going to reveal the Father to you. In that day, you're going to know that I'm in the Father, but you're in there with me. See, if you don't understand that right there, that's the problem. Because that's how he operated, and that's what he's offering to you. And you're going to be in me. Now watch this, and you're going to pray in my name. You're going to be in me, and you're going to pray to the Father from the place you're at in me. Not just saying in Jesus' name, you're going to be praying in me to the Father. Is that too heavy? You're going to bring when I reveal this relationship, when I reveal the love, when I reveal the Father, you're going to be in me, and from that place in me, you're going to pray to the Father from the position you have in me. You see that? That is the master key of the mysteries of God. You got to get to the Father. You see the problem? Everybody's trying to do it over here. When God said, come do it in here. Even in the tabernacle, Moses would come out from among them and go into the tabernacle before he prayed. He went into the mountain and asked God to show him his glory. He didn't ask God to show him his glory from the earth. He went into the mountain of God. Solomon went into the tabernacle and prayed. You go in. Say, go in. I pray from a position of within. That's what it means to pray in his name. You're praying from within him. You're positioned in him. You're in the Father, and the Father loves you. Oh, that's really good. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. What else you got for me today? Yeah, I know it's a process. These words are so powerful. You got to get there. It's part of your journey. Why do you make it so hard? It's really not that hard. But he does require faith. He requires you keep his words, these words that bring you to him, and he requires faith. Amen? It's like Paul said, I want to give you meat. You see, the heavier things of God require something of you. You got to make your journey into God. But what he promises, you're going to pray and I'm going to answer. That's probably why we're not getting the kind of prayers answered that we want to answer. It kind of makes your head spin a little bit, doesn't it? Because he said, you're going to know this. Say, I'm going to know it. At that day, I'm going to know it. I'm going to understand. Say, I will understand this position of oneness. He talks about the oneness in 17. He goes, Father, I will they be with me where I am. His final prayer, Father, I will they be with me where I am that they may behold his glory. He willed that you would be there. I hit a major wall a minute ago in releasing this. I'm feeling the wall. I'm feeling the wall in the spirit about the understanding of this position. This is the stuff that's got to come down. This is got, only truth is going to push that wall out. Because what happens is it's resisted because this is not the way I've been taught before. Or I don't understand this. Or this is too much for me. Or, you see, you can't be doing that no more. You got to move into truth. Truth requires, truth pierces the darkness. It pierces the understanding. Truth changes things. We got to walk in truth. Amen. Let me show it to you this way. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I'll begin my close. I wanted to take you so much farther today, but we got to get past this point of this knowing, this understanding of this oneness. So you're not going to, if you don't understand this oneness, you're not going to understand how he operated with the Father. You're not going to understand how he prayed to the Father. Because that's why he was saying, do you believe that I'm in my Father and my Father's in me? And Philip goes, show us the Father. He goes, you're not getting it. Don't you understand? He's working through me. He dwells with me and I dwell with him. Do you understand the relationship that I have with my Father and the Father has with me? Because if you don't, you're not going to understand where I'm trying to take you. He said, he that believeth on him, study believeth on him this week. Find out what he said about believeth on him. Because you believed on me. Because you believed I was in the Father. And I was sent from the Father. And I'm going back to the Father. And I'm bringing you to where I am. Because you believe this. To believe on him was to believe on him who sent him. And to believe the relationship. Because that is where God's going to get us. The walls are coming down. He's going to get us there. Everyone say, he's going to get me there. He's going to get us there. Burrasa. Matthew 6:6. Ready for this? I'm going to share one other thing of why he set it up this way. Why does God want you to go where he is? Why can't you just pray where you are? What difference does it make? Why does the Father want you to go? Why does the Lord want to bring you to the Father? Holy Spirit wants to bring you to where the Lord is. Lord wants you to bring you to the Father. The Father wants you to pray from within, pray from Christ, pray in him, be dwelling in the Father. I call this where I am, dwelling in the Father, praying in the Father. Why does he want that, by the way? Why can't I just be over there and just pray? Why can't I just wake up in the morning with my cup of coffee and say, Father, isn't it good enough that with all the people that are dark in this world that I know you, God, and I can wake up and glorify thy name, pray, and you just come and do it? Why do I got to do that? Look, I didn't have one person here raise their hand that was satisfied with their present prayer life. And we got a lot of people in here that know God very well. Now, if I went to every church in America, we would probably get the same result. We might have somebody tied into God pretty deep, but I guarantee it's not going to be more than 1%. 99% of the people are totally unsatisfied with their prayer life. A lot of times we don't even pray anymore. We just go do it. Or we doubt the mindset we're going to have to move this mountain. It's going to take us 5 years. So let's start fasting and praying now. There might be something going on over here in this realm that we don't know about of why we're supposed to come up in here. And I'm finding out what it is. As a matter of fact, I got to show it to you right now. Go over to 1 John 3. What is it about this place he wants to bring us? Why are we supposed to be dwelling in him, dwelling in his love? Why is he going to reveal the Father before he starts answering prayer? Why does he want to do that? Everyone say, the kingdom of God floweth by way of the heart. The heart, not everyone's going to understand. You can understand a lot of stuff that's up in your head, but it's very hard to discern the depths of the human heart. You don't know what's going on in here. If I ask everyone who has a pure heart, most everyone will raise their hand, because you probably do. But there's stuff there that's blocking. Out of the abundance of the heart, guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it floweth the issues of life. Out of your innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. There's a lot of stuff that goes on up in the heart realm you don't know about. A lot of stuff that's in the way that you don't know that's in the way. It's pretty amazing being introduced to the love of the Father 2 months ago in a way. Now, I knew the Father's love. He's come to me, visited me. I get all that. I've dwelled in his love, but nothing like this. Dwelling in it every day. But since this 2 months, what amazes me is the condition of the heart after knowing God for so long, walking with him so long. Somehow, because I got in ministry, my heart should have been indifferent. 19 years of ministry and all that stuff was still there. And I'm thinking we're ready for revival any day because I feel the anointing like you do. Are you hearing me? And what the revelation to me, and if it wasn't for his love, I would drown in it, because his love reveals the stuff. He accepts me the way I am, but as I start dwelling in his love, he starts pulling stuff out of me, flushing stuff out of me that I just look and I'm in awe in a bad way. I can't believe that lived in me. I minister for a living. How can all that stuff live there? The reason you can't know it is God's not going to open your heart all at one time. You couldn't take it. He takes in consecutive stages. But God fellowships with you just how you are. He loves you just the way you are. It's not all about him changing you all the time. Sometimes he just likes to be with you. And then sometimes he'll shock you. His love will come in and start flushing stuff. And when he does, you come out. But he did it with love, so you come out with security, and you come out with light, and you come out with love, but you're just in shock. Wow, that stuff could be there. I didn't know. How would I have known? That's why he wants to get you to the Father. He's got to show you what you don't know. He's got to show you what's in the way. He's got to deal with things that are in the way. He's got to deal with things from a heavenly jurisdiction, not an earthly jurisdiction. He wants to move roadblocks. He wants to remove walls and barriers. He wants to tear them down. That's why he wants to get you into the love of the Father. It's not one day I'm just going to get here and he's going to answer all my prayers. It's a place you begin fellowshipping in love. And all of a sudden he starts transforming. I can't tell you how much in 2 months the things that he's changed. If you could get into Anna's mind and Chuck's mind, they know, because I've told them. I don't tell you everything, but I told them everything. Well, I told Anna everything. Chuck doesn't know everything. He knows a lot of it. But the amazing part is, why couldn't you have got this 10 years ago? Because you weren't dwelling with me. You were walking with me, but you weren't dwelling with me. You were following me in ministry, but you weren't dwelling with me. When I started dwelling in love, stuff started happening. Things start. I'm just using me as an example. We can use you if you want, but just things start changing. I'm like, 2 months. Look at all this stuff that's changed. He's getting stuff out of the way. He's removing stuff that I didn't know was there, that you probably didn't know was there, but he knew was there. And he did it all out of a position of love, not of judgment. Never once did he ever judge. The whole time he loved. I'm being changed under love now instead of changing under trial over there. That's a hard way to change over there. Under trial. You don't have to spend your life on the backside of a desert being changed by one trial after another. You can go into the Father. The Father will transform you to the image of Christ. And I said, why did you want us to do this? I'll close with this. 1 John 3. Believe it or not, there's more to this, but this is the major, major hill. First John 3, verse 19. This is little John. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We're going to bring our hearts into a position of assurance. Say assurance. For if our heart condemn us, know that God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, I'm not talking about just condemnation because you sin. I'm talking about condemning sentences of the heart. The heart has a way about it. Misplaced identity. When you're in a performance syndrome, when you're doing real good, everything's good. But when you're not, you drop down. Your heart's condemning everything. Because you're based out of the wrong system. You got all kinds of things that are interacting in the heart. When your heart's brought into the love of the Father, know whatever's in your heart, God is greater than those things that are condemning you. Those things that are keeping you bound. Those things that are keeping you locked down. God is greater. And when you bring the heart into this place of love, he starts washing and washing and washing and say washing and washing and washing some more until you come out with this assurance. I'm not perfect, but he's removed all this stuff out of the way. Now I can pray to him in confidence. This is the confidence I have. Because what happens after love has had its perfect work, it produces confidence. It's not like praying after being in faith and really you're just in fear trying to act like you're in faith. You ever seen anybody do that? Because the fear-based nature, that fear-based of the old man, that stuff's in there. But when you get him into love and you take it to the next chapter, he says perfect love. When you're in the presence of perfect love, it starts casting out the fear. It casts out the fear-based nature. It's casting out the systems. It's casting out the things that are condemning the heart. It's casting out the things that are holding you back. No matter what's condemning you, no matter what's in there, God's greater. Say God's greater. God's love is greater. And what it does is washes you. That's why he wanted to bring you to the Father. So he could bring you into confidence. And what comes out of it is confidence, assurance, love, relationship. You're my Father. You love me. I don't have this old stuff condemning me, telling me stuff about God that's not true. These lies have been washed out. Now this love is there. And I'm praying to him out of love. He's going to hear you. And he's going to answer you. And not just one time. He's going to keep answering you. We are headed for answered prayer. And we're headed for the Father coming to dwell with us in the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Perfect love. Cast out fear. The kind of stuff that's locking us down. Love is greater. Look at your neighbor and say, love is greater. I'm going to get to perfect love. I'm going to dwell in perfect love. I'm not going to live with my old father, the one that's condemning me. He's not like that. That old image, he's going to remove those images. There's so many men in here and women too. You had very difficult fathers. You were raised with improper imaging like I was. It messes you up. It messes you up big time. You don't understand love. You don't know what love is. It causes you to be something you're not. It causes you to come out trying to be somebody you're not. It's not okay for me to walk out and you just know who I am. I got to hide and cloak myself. I got to come out with a facade so you like me. I got to perform to find something I never got. With him, there is no performance. There's just acceptance. He is love. He doesn't need a reason to love you. He likes you. He loves you. He's head over heels in love with you. He sent his son to die so you could be with him. It wasn't just for you to get saved at the cross and stay here and struggle all your life. They wanted to bring you into the presence of the Father. Jesus has more joy in bringing me into the Father than fellowshipping with me. I get caught up with him. He says, let's go to the Father. I'm enjoying this with you. He goes, let's go to the Father. It's your inheritance. Don't wait till you get to heaven to find out what you're going to add here. Give the Lord glory. Don't allow. I'm closing, but listen to me. Do not allow lies of the enemy. You have no idea how deeply his lies are entrenched to teach you. You can't get there. It's too hard. It's too much labor. He lies about it. It's too much separation. It's not worth the cost. It's too much of a price. And you try to make it, you feel these barriers and these walls. See, I told you. It's going to take you 10 years to get there. It's a lie. It's all a lie. You can walk right in there. Once your faith overcomes, your faith will walk right in. What we're finding out, when faith overcomes, you walk in. I'm like, I didn't even struggle today. I just came in. That's what faith does. Faith overrides the mountains. It overrides your emotions. You're going to get to the Father, and the Father's going to love you, and then you're going to pray to the Father, because he's going to remove the barriers, and he's going to bring the kingdom through you. That's why he's got to fix the heart, because the kingdom's coming back. He's not bypassing you. You're a part of the equation. I told you in the beginning, everyone had a part. He has to fix your heart, because what you're asking for, and I'm going to show you in the weeks to come, he's got to impart to you. And he's got to send it through your heart. That's why he's got to clean the heart, for the kingdom's coming through you. Out of your belly floweth rivers! He's got to get you cleaned out! And it doesn't matter what's in the way, because God's greater. He's greater. If he can fix me, I can assure you he can fix you. It's like Paul said, I've been judged. He goes, for you to judge me is a really light thing, because I've been judged to the Father. Everyone say, Lord, get us there. The Lord says, I will. You be with me where I am in the Father, that you may behold my glory, that the Father will love you the way he loves me. I will that you have the same relationship that I had walking in the earth. I will it, that you understand that you are in me, I'm in the Father, and we're in you. I will you understand the oneness. I will you understand the position. I will that you get there. I will that you dwell in the Father's love. That is God's will. That's his perfect will. Father, we thank you today. You will it. I pray a corporate prayer today, Father. I pray a prayer that the Lord prayed. It is your perfect will. You sent your Holy Spirit. We ask your Holy Spirit gets every one of us into Christ. And we ask for Christ to reveal the Father. That we all corporately dwell in you, Father, that we dwell and we abide in your love. And no matter what is in our hearts, no matter what strongholds we carry in, you are greater. You accept us the way we are. You love us the way we are. But your love's going to conquer us in that room. And you're going to come back through us. And every prayer that we pray will be answered, because you're with us and you're in us. I pray, Father, that this congregation and the people that hear the words of this prayer understand the oneness. They understand the oneness. It is the key to all of it. Father, get us there. Grant it, get us there.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.